This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead, because I have got a thing unique and new. It proves that I'll have the last life on you, because instead of one head, I've got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
That piece was called Twisted, sung there by Amelia Evans, and it's off her album called The First Song. And we have Amelia in the studio with us. Amelia is coming to tell us about the album called The First Song, and also to tell us about some upcoming performances at the Recital Centre. Welcome to the studio, Amelia.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know that Jet's very excited because she's been looking at the cover of your album all evening.
She has.
Loving the artwork.
Yeah, she has. I can't quite stop looking at it, actually. It's they're all my favourite colours, so it's just that beautiful burst of colour on the outside, and I love it against that white, that clean white cover. Can you talk us a little bit through the inspiration for the artwork?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I guess after you've been looking at it for a while, I hope you have noticed that it is my face.
Yes, it is. Yes, I did notice.
Which some people, it takes a second glance to actually notice.
I must have had a boy look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I did certainly notice that.
Well, I saw the colour and everything and I actually didn't pick it. I didn't pick it as you.
I guess people that maybe know me or take a bit more of a longer look at it will notice, but... Yeah. Yeah, actually, when I was deciding the album artwork, I just wanted just art. I wanted maybe that abstract idea that I have on the album. But a lot of people were telling me that I needed to have my face on there. Mm. But I definitely didn't just want a picture of me. I was really, really lucky to have one of my best friends, who's a very, very talented artist as well as a designer. Yeah, reached out to her and we were able to make this beautiful... Wow.
Excellent choice.
Album cover. Yeah.
Really great choice. Amelia, having listened to your voice, I feel when I hear your voice, it reminds me that there are some tones there that remind me a lot of Katie Noonan.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to talk to you about that and talk to you about your influences and what, you know, who you draw upon as you're coming up. I'm sure you've been asked that many times. Mm. Who are the people that you listen to that have formed your style?
Oh, that's lovely, first of all. I haven't actually had someone compare me or say that I remind them of Katie. But I think for me, I have a very wide range of influences. My whole family is musical. So I grew up from a classical background and I thought I would become a classical musician. So I learnt cello and piano and grew up playing those instruments. But it wasn't till I was maybe 15 or 16 when I started venturing into jazz. So I started having a listen to the greats, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan. But I love them, but they're definitely not my number one influences. I think my number one is definitely Kurt Elling. I don't know if you know of him. Just a very inspirational and huge, huge vocalist in the jazz scene worldwide, really. And then I also really, really love Australian jazz and Australian music. So listen to Katie a lot. Mm. Kristen Berardi from Queensland. Michelle Nicole is a huge influence.
I was listening to you singing Twisted because I was thinking to myself, oh, you sound like Michelle Nicole. Isn't it interesting?
Yes.
You said Katie Noonan.
It really is.
I didn't even go down the Katie Noonan path. I went down the Michelle Nicole path.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be studying with Michelle for quite a number of years, and she is just absolutely incredible in what she does and who she is as a person as well. So Thank you. They're both both lovely to hear that I remind you of them, and it's an honour, really.
With the album, it's an album of jazz standards, and you just talked about, you know, listening to the Ella Fitzgeralds and the Sarah Vaughans, and plus also the Australian artists that we just talked about. Have you ever thought about, since you are also a classically trained musician, do you write music? Would you write yourself, or are you more comfortable performing the standards with your spin on the standard?
Yeah, definitely. I think because this album doesn't have any originals on it, it wasn't something that I just forgot about. I did think about it, and of course when you're releasing your first album, a lot of people do put the originals and original music on there. I think because when we recorded this, I was halfway through my undergraduate degree in music. I hadn't really thought a lot about what I wanted to say or put out into the world in terms of my own voice and my own music. And I have composed quite a lot. I guess when it came to choosing what compositions I wanted to put on the record, I wasn't 100% there with my own original music. And I already know for the future, I'm already thinking about the next record, and that will definitely have a lot more of my own original music, as well as paying tribute to Australian jazz in general. I do write a lot, definitely, and it is a big part of what I do, but definitely it's just not on the album this time.
We might come back to a question about your original music and how that relates perhaps to your upcoming performance at the Recital Centre. Mm-hmm. But just back to the album, and I was going to ask you, you've got a great lineup of musicians there. Are they people that you've worked with before, or people that you're just introduced to? And how did you end up working with them on this album?
A few different stories for each of them. I'll start with Bob Settergreen. He's been a huge part of my life ever since I was young, and I met him through my parents, who are music educators, and Bob is a huge influence in education in Australia, as well as being an amazing jazz musician. So I met him when I was very young. Little did I know that I would come to today where I'd be playing with him, and it's a real honour for him to even want to play with me. But he's definitely a mentor. Steve as well is a huge mentor to me.
The two set of greens.
Yeah, two set of greens. I couldn't not have both of them on there. But Steve was actually the first person that really mentored me in terms of improvisation and working with me to find my own sound when I was starting out singing as a jazz vocalist. Ben, I had never played with before, so it was really exciting to work with him. And Tony, played with him a few times, but not too much. So it was kind of, you know, playing with people from the past as well as a mix of new voices. So it was really exciting to come together on this album.
Mm. Are they going to be the band that you play with at the Recital Centre on the 27th of April?
Not all of them, unfortunately. It's just Bob and I at the Recital Centre.
Oh, literally just the
just,
two of
just
you.
The two
That'll
of
be
us.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just That's quite intimate.
It is, yes. And definitely in that venue as well, because I have worked with Bob quite a bit in more of a duet setting than in a band, not until recently really. So this will be a really fantastic opportunity to work with him in that way. And I think we do that on the album as well, by having a few duets on the album to really showcase our conversational kind of approach we have to playing with each other. So it should be really fun.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Amelia, it was interesting. We were just talking prior to Flora Carbo, and she mentioned to us that she won an award, the James Morrison Generations in Jazz Award, for her instrument in 2017, in the same year, 2017? Mm. Yes, it was. And the same year you won for vocals.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
What does winning an award like that mean for someone who is beginning their career?
I think definitely in terms of that the award was connected to the Generations in Jazz Festival, I think for me that was definitely a big deal. I grew up going to the festival with my high school, and I was involved with the choir choral sections there. So I grew up, you know, seeing many vocalists going through that competition and really looking up to them. And I'm sure Flora was similar in that way. And we actually knew each other when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. So we were connected for quite a few years.
I look forward to seeing a collaboration sometime soon, maybe.
That would be lovely.
Flora did say that she hasn't written for a vocalist yet.
This this would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really like the sound of that.
Maybe this was her way of letting you know that she wants to write for you.
I mean, yeah, I 100% would really be down to play with Flora. We actually recently played at a gig together, and that was the first time we played together since Generations in Jazz in 2017.
Oh, wow. Do you often play an instrument at gigs?
I don't usually, but I did last year. I played cello at a gig, and in the past I have used my cello as a bass kind of instrument and played bass lines while singing. It's something that I'd like to do more often, definitely, and integrate kind of into the jazz world more so than contemporary, which is what I've been doing in the past, yeah.
Amelia, you mentioned earlier that your parents were music educators, and I know another artist that we played on the show tonight, Kamasi Washington, I know that his parents were also music educators, and I do see there's a little bit of there's a polished sort of feel that I get about both of you. Do you think that that's, I suppose, do you think growing up in that environment where you're sort of surrounded by that knowledge and that influence, how does that have an effect on you, or can you see that the way that that's influenced your career path?
For sure. I think if anything, it was really just a natural thing that happened. Of course, they were there to nurture my talents in a way when I was younger, and I think they definitely noticed when I was younger that I maybe sang a bit more than other people, and that I could actually sing in tune, and so they decided to nurture that from a young age. And I think there was never really a moment when I thought that I wouldn't do music. It was just an innate thing, as much as a lot of people, you know, they suggest you should have a backup plan, all of that. It was never really an option for me. I definitely wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for them. Even though they are classical musicians, they really did nurture every aspect of my musical journey.
Do they play jazz music? Or do they? I should no. Actually, I'll put it to you a different way. Do they like to listen to jazz music? And was jazz music, while they were classical musicians and they were classical musical educators, and that was, I guess, the basis of your learning, did they listen to other types of music as well? Is that where it kind of fell into your head? There was other stuff out there.
Yeah.
As well?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have really laughed. I just laughed because it's me thinking about my parents playing jazz music. But I think more so my mum kind of, she listened to a lot of jazz when I was growing up. And because she did know Bob Settergreen from quite early on, I did actually... I was surrounded by that from a young age, and there's actually, we're trying to find the photo for the album actually, but there was a photo taken of me maybe when I was 6 or 8 months old, and I was in the studio when Bob was recording an album. And so I mean, I was subject to
that. That's where
that.
It's come from.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have had no idea. I think I was screaming at the top of my lungs, but just to get out of there, but it definitely, it's from that. And my mum, she also takes a lot of big bands and jazz ensembles as an educator. Not so much my dad, but definitely that's had a big influence on me. Yeah, they've had a very wide range of listening.
Coming back to now your performance that's coming up at the Recital Centre on the 27th of April, you were talking before about you do have your own compositions, and you have written, when you write, have you written pieces that are instrumental pieces only, or do you write the lyrics, or does somebody else help with the lyrics? How do you, the pieces that you've written, what format do they take?
That's a really interesting question. I think maybe because I did learn a few instruments when I was growing up, I do often take a more instrumental approach to writing. I'd like to say that I'm a great lyricist, but I don't believe that I am quite yet. So definitely when I am writing, its early stages do begin in writing melody and harmony, and really using improvisation to kind of nut out sections and melodies and things, and then perhaps going to lyric writing. In saying that, the last couple of tunes I've written, some of them do have lyrics, but quite a few of them don't have lyrics at all, and I will just sing them instrumentally, like I was a instrumentalist basically. And I think they're just as exciting as songs that have lyrics because we get to explore improvisation and things like that. So I do have quite a mix in both both areas of composition, definitely, yeah.
At your performance, will any of your own compositions come out?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. I don't often perform them. I very much am a perfectionist, so I don't always like to put things out there until they're perfect. These are definitely not perfect, but Bob's definitely encouraged me to explore them with him, which they'll take a completely different light to when I've, you know, played them by myself or with a band. We'll also be playing a number of original works by Bob as well. So, yeah, really
it's
looking forward to it.
Incredibly important to have those mentors, isn't it, that really believe in you and can kind of almost have the confidence to say, we're going to do this.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that you probably are maybe not wanting to put it out there until it's absolutely perfect, but in order to get it there, it kind of needs to be.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's great to have Bob and people like Steve who remind me not to take things so seriously, I think, and to remember that, you know, I like to think that music is the bigger thing here. I'm just contributing to it in some way. If it is in a way that I can make people feel something, then I'm doing my job. I've got to remember to sometimes not think so much.
Because I can relate to
that. I'm an overthinker, definitely.
A little bit like in Twisted, the song.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
What has your analyst told you?
My goodness.
Don't overthink
I've
it.
I've got to calm down here.
Amelia, thanks so much for coming in and joining us this evening. Your performances are at the Recital Centre on the 27th of April, which is
a Saturday.
Saturday
night.
Yeah, that's lovely. And it's in the Salon, which is it's just a beautiful environment in there. In fact, I mentioned that to Flora as well. She was talking about her upcoming performance. Mm-hmm. And I said, where she's performing reminds me of the Salon.
Right.
And there's been so many coincidences this evening with that. Do you know they got it all set up in the Round you mentioned before, you think?
Yeah, I believe it is in the Round, and I've played in there a number of times in the Round as well as just, I think, just a normal setup. But the Round is just beautiful to be in, definitely in terms of connecting with the audience and just the sound within the space as well. So it's definitely going to be a very special gig. And that's at 8 p.m. on April 27th.
April 27th. Yeah. So for our listeners, you can go to the Recital Centre website if you'd like to buy tickets to that show. I'm sure that you will enjoy it very much. Amelia, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to play another piece off the album to farewell you this evening. And this one is called Alone Together. Is it any particular story behind that or anything? Again, it's a standard.
Yeah, standard. This was actually one of the first standards I learnt. And this was brought to me by Michelle Nicole and Bob Sedergreen. And they basically, when they were at the beginning of my career mentoring me, this is one of the first songs I learned. So it had to be on there.
It had to be on there. Well, let's have a listen to it now. Amelia Evans, thank you so much for coming in. And we're going to listen to Amelia's performance of Alone Together.
Thanks for having me.
Alone together, beyond the crowd, above the world, we're not too proud to cling together. We're strong as long as we're together. Alone together, the blinding rain, the starless nights were not in vain. For we're together, what is there to fear together? Deep as love can be, and we can weather the great unknown if we're alone together. Should it live if we are?
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.